This is the national public broadcast of Imam W. Dean Muhammad, Muslim leader.
But I have to recognize what worked in this formula that was used by this man to make a new people of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and those who would follow him. I have to recognize that. Okay. Because I know there are some Christians, I met some Christians, some very wonderful Christians, very wise Christians, and they know how to separate stories and fiction from truth. All Christians are not living in the dark. So I know that, you know. And as long as we have alive people in heaven watching over us, we can't fare too bad on earth. but what about those who get separated from even their help coming from the live people up there? Like most of us have done. Most of us, even the preachers, and I know some of you here today. Some of you here wearing Muslim names, some of you Christian preachers. I know you very well. You're here today. You're here every time I speak. Every time it's announced that I'm going to speak, you're here. And I don't blame you. You're doing right to come, brother. Yeah. Some of you all have gotten out of touch yourself with the spirit that you should be in and with the mental disposition that you should be in. You've gotten out of touch with it. You're no longer respecting God as he should be respected. You preach it. You're no longer respecting scripture, revealed scripture, as it should be respected. You're preaching for results in the people. You're preaching to make the people happy. You're preaching to make the people give you money. You're preaching to make the people love you. You're too selfish to get back connected with the true human spirit and human life that God wants for us. We got to stop being selfish. God is charitable, and he created us to be charitable. God loves to give, and he created us to love giving. We have to love giving more than we love getting. And when we love giving more than we love getting, God will be with us. We'll come into the right spirit, and the people will love us even more. And if the world is intended for you, you'll get it. Or you are not going to get anything that God doesn't want you to have. You can be holy and saintly and the best person in the world. And even God loves you for being so good. But if God knows that a lot of money is going to make your life worse, or put you in a position to make somebody else's life worse, maybe God won't want that for you. Maybe you'll let Satan and some of Satan's followers have that. Yes, praise be to God. Alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah, praise be to God. Yes, so here is the great wisdom of Mr. Farah. He said, I'm going to kill history. I'm going to destroy history. And that's what he did. He destroyed history for my father and for his followers. He told us, don't believe history. Then he attempted to give us the history. And he did the same thing that the world did to the people. He gave us a history that was myth. He said, the black man is God. Now, you know, if you believe you're God, who you gonna go to for questions? Who you gonna go to for answers to questions? He said, you God. Now, where you gonna go to have somebody answer your question? The man was wise. Wise. Powerful psychology. If I can get these dumb, uneducated blacks to believe this myth, and they hold on to it, when they ever get themselves together, they're going to be independent. You following me? And he said, I come on July the 4th, the Independence Day of the United for the people of America. July the 4th. That is to say, I come for the same thing you all got, you white folks in America. You got your independence. But you got a black people here that come from Africa, that you brought from Africa, and they are not independent because they are not in their natural mind. They are living under the burden of darkness. Now I'm going to come and I'm going to wake them up mentally. And when they find themselves, they are going to be standing on their own ground and thinking independently. And thinking independently. Praise be to Allah. It worked. He killed history. He destroyed the history that we learned in school. He destroyed it. Told us don't believe a word of it. He said the world was not began as they say it began. Now, let me address myth again. The Roman people, they have the story of their beginning as Romans. How do they know their beginning? Who knows their beginning? Nobody knows their beginning. Like we don't know our birth. Our family, our parents have to tell us our birth. Who witnessed his own birth and can remember it? Nobody. So no people know their beginning. They know only what was written, what they learned later. And God knew that all of us would want to know, where did we begin? Well, in Africa. Well, how much that can tell us nowadays? That can't tell us very much. And the way we've been scattered, and the different places they got us, or from which they got us, we don't know whether to go to Ghana, or Sudan. One guy said he knew where to go, and he found Kunta Kinte. Alex Haley, who wrote the popular book, you know, that very popular book, Alex Haley. Well, when he said Kunta Kinte, I said, yeah. I said, he's beginning in myth, not reality. So Kunti Kinti means Kunti you. You were. Kinti, you were. Twice. Masculine and feminine. So, that's supposed to be the name of the person he found, you know. All fabricated. You all can believe it if you want it. But I believe his connection with his ancestors was fabricated. Yes. A great book, though. I bought it, and I don't regret that I bought it and read it. A great book and a great story that you saw in movies and TV. Great story. Myth is the beginning of most people's history. All nations' history begin in myth. The Egyptians' history began in myth. The Romans' history began with two wolves. Well, the wolf, pardon me. Wolf. Two boys and a wolf. Two boys were separated from their parents, and they were found by a she-wolf. And the she-wolf nursed them, the babies. It was babies needing to be nursed, infants. And the she-wolf nursed them, and they got healthy and got strong. And one of the brothers was a little bit too silly. One was serious-minded, the other silly-minded. So they came to the city, to the place where Rome would be established. And one brother was able to cross over and get into that area. The other brother was not. But one left behind. The silly one was left behind. Isn't that a great story for the Roman people? To tell them that you all are descended from the smart one, not the dumb one, not the dull one. You all are descended children of the mature one, not the immature one. That's a nice story for the ego. of the Roman people. So if they did it, what's wrong with Mr. Farrar doing it for us? So their beginning is in a story, in fiction, in a lie, not the truth, you know. And as I said, so it is for every other people. We came from Africa, and Africa was never united, and it's not united yet. Africa was never united. They are identified by tribal language and tribal ways, folk ways. That's how they identify. The people of Egypt are mostly the same. The Egyptians are mostly the same. But the people of Africa vary so much, so widely. South Africans, North Africans, the Bush people, they vary so widely. And they have so many different languages that they speak. And maybe that's the reason why the continent is in such bad shape today. Because they haven't found unity. Now, it really hurts me to know that Christianity was there, still there. Christianity and Islam, these two great religions, are both on these continents. But it has not yet stood the Africans up as a people, as a people of the continent. These two great religions have not stood them up and united them as citizens on equal plane with each other. Our founding fathers did it for the citizens of this country, but no one has been able to do it yet for the people who live on that continent we call Africa the dark continent. It's still dark. Not with people. It's dark with ignorance. Ignorance of their true calling in this world, in this material world. God willing, there'll come a change there soon, I hope. A big change. Even if I have to go over there with a new mission. And preach a story to get them to have faith in themselves and a higher evaluation of human life. See, when you get the truth from God, you get the true evaluation of human life. And once you have your true evaluation, you just can't treat yourself like you're a dog or an inferior thing. No, you can't do that. You respect yourself. When you get true evaluation of the self, the high self that God made when he made a human being, then you will be careful not to mistreat yourself. That was another thing Mr. Farrar said, no self. Know yourself. And he didn't say yourself as a black man. He said he gave us a kind of catechism, like they give the Catholic Church has. He said, and who is my own self? What is my own self? Then he gives the answer like a catechism. My own self is a righteous Muslim. So he told us to identify ourselves as Muslim. Now, after studying this religion over many years now, since I became aware of what Mr. Farrar taught us, well, my mother had me memorize those things, not just me, the Muslim sisters, the grown-up, had themselves and their children memorize those things. We had to commit it to memory, know it by heart, that's what we should say, by heart, know it by heart. So anyway, since then, I have studied it. And in Islam, in the Quran and in the teachings of Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon him, we have two definitions for Muslims. Or if I was writing a dictionary, I would put two entries for Muslims. First entry would be believers in God and believers in Muhammad as the last prophet with the final revelation, the Quran. That'd be a short entry for that entry number one. What would be the second one? Muslim. The original unspoiled nature of every human being. The first Adam, the first and unspoiled, the original, the first, and the unspoiled nature of every human being. And I guess the Christians are saying the same thing when they say Christ in you. Christ, the prophet, or the Messiah, prophet, and Christ in every person. Because Jesus Christ is the one who told them to say that, according to the gospel. Christ said, I in you, and you in me, meaning that we both are having the same essence. Our human essence is one. But my spirit is different from yours. His spirit was from God. But his flesh was same as our flesh. And he said, I and you and you and me. But I'm sure he was not identifying all of us in our present makeup, in our present mental and spiritual makeup. In our present spiritual and mental makeup, over 90% of us are not true human. We are not true descendants of Adam, meaning that we are in the true human nature that God created. We're not in it. We have been taken out of that original nature that God put us, that God made for us when he made our father, Adam. We have been taken out of it. And we know that the story of Adam is that he was seduced to come out of his nature. So he lost his nature too, to the several words of the Satan when he was whispering into his soul, into Adam's soul. And he sold Adam on a different mind for his life. He sold Adam a different mind for his life. God had created him with a right mind, and then the Satan sold him on a different mind and caused him to fall from the high place that God had put him in when he made him. The fall of man, the fall of mankind. Though we have preachers preaching scripture, most of us are not in our true human form. If we were, we would be doing better with our human life. So Mr. Farrar told us that history began for us every 25,000 years. He said every 25,000 years, the wise among the black man write history to last for another 25,000 years. And he told us that the white man was created or made by a black scientist whose name was Yaqub, or Jacob, in English Jacob, whose name was Jacob, that a black man made the white race by weakening the gene for pigmentation or color. In the black man, he was able to eventually make a white man. Well, I'd like to tell Mr. Farrar that we gave birth to white people long before that. The black man gave birth to an albino. Albino means white. So you're just talking about pigmentation. Black people have always given birth to white. Black people have always given birth to white babies. They're called albinos, with weak eyes. Sometimes the eyes so weak they be dancing in the head. Eyeball muscles cannot be controlled. Weak. They're weak. And the skin white. That's no big deal for us, having white babies. But just think, you know, here's a black family, and the babies come out white. And nobody's upset. Take that little baby in her arm and just, no big deal. I got me one that needs some sunlight now. But you let a white family up north in Europe see a black one coming out of there. That'll be the end for the whole family. Family will be out of their mind, and no hospital will be able to bring them back to family. prepares us. Nature prepares us. And whites are not prepared because that doesn't happen in white folks. They don't have black babies. They have albinos, but they're whiter. They just come out whiter than the white folks. So we have what is a great contrast. And it doesn't upset us. I guess that's why we come straight from slavery, still held down and mistreated. But if a white woman says, I want you to come and live with me and take care of my children, we get in that house and be a better mother sometime than the white woman, than the real mother. Yeah, go in there and be a better mother than the real mother. And if we all come to our true human identity, and see, that's the first identity, and that's the most important identity. And you know the Bible says, the first shall be last, and the last shall be first. Now I can see that happening, or I can see that have been fulfilled in the world. The first identity was us identifying as human. Human. Not as Africans and Asians and Europeans, as human. Not as black and white and red, as human. Not as Americans and Chinese, or no, as human. That's the first identity. The Bible says that the first shall be last. That first have become last. We put our black skin before our human identity. We put our American citizenship before our human identity. We're American. We know that. That's first. We're American. Or I'm an African American. I'm a black American. I'm a Polish American. I'm a Jewish American, or whatever. We put these identities, and these identities have separated us from the original identity. I said this at another previous engagement I had this year, and I will say it again here. If you put your color, your ethnicity, or your race, or anything else on you as an identity, and you lose, get out of touch, you lose the awareness that you are human first, those identities are going to fail you. They're going to fail you. They're going to end up contributing to your deterioration. Get you in serious trouble in time. How can a person be a racist if they are first grounded upon their human identity? How can they be racist? No way. So Satan has to make you forget your human identity to make you a racist, to turn you against your brothers and sisters in humanity. If we get back in touch with our identity that God gave us, that He gives us when He says you all are the children of Adam, we can make great progress. Your soul will be lifted up. The burden will be taken off your soul. Your mind will awaken to do greater and more beautiful things. Yes? You'll be free. And our religion, false worship, is the worst form of oppression. Now, African Americans, when we think of oppression, we think of white supremacy. We think of our circumstances as slaves on the plantation. We think of discrimination, segregation, and all the wrong done to us by white folks when we think of oppression. But that's not the worst oppression. The worst oppression is for you to have a false authority over your life. Now, in ancient times, in my conclusion, in ancient times, medieval times too, but mainly in ancient times, images were made of the powers and authorities that were working and ruling in the life of people. They made images for them of people who loved sex and sex seems to have been the main driving force in their life, they were given a deity that meant sex, having sex. And they would worship that deity. Yes, they would have celebrations and dance and shout and everything around that sex organ. This is history. This is history, brothers and sisters. And Africa, the name Africa, it goes back to a mythical deity, a female, Aphrodite. If you say she is an Aphrodite, you mean she's oversexed. She wants it too often and too much. So we have to understand these myths, how these myths have come into our life. Now, we have more gods in this modern time than the medieval people had in their time, or than the ancient people had in their time. We just haven't given images for them. Most of us are worshiping sex organs. Your God is a sex organ. You just haven't made an image of him yet. And you have many, many gods. So let us separate myth from religion and be truly free. Thank you. Peace. As-salamu alaykum.
More on the ministry of Imam W. Dean Muhammad, call our right, Ministry of W. Dean Muhammad, 1-708-798-6750. All right, Ministry of Imam W. Dean Muhammad, Post Office Box 1061, Calumet City, Illinois, 60409. For Muslim Jones, see local distributors. And thanks for listening.